Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
All right, so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. That is a chapter in the Bible that is all about the resurrection. It's got some great truth. We'll not cover every verse in there today, but you're going to want to take some time in that. Our sermon audio will be available on our website on Wednesday, along with sermon notes. So a lot of what I'm saying today, plus a lot of additional helpful things, will be available online. So if you missed something, you want to go back and grab something from that, you'll be able to get that by Wednesday of this week. Now, Matthew chapter 11, this is a great passage. If you like to meditate on Scripture or like to memorize things that are easy to memorize, easy to remember, this is one of those passages. Matthew 11, 28 says this. It says from Jesus, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Did you know that Jesus was like that? I know we've probably heard a lot of things about Jesus over the years, but this is what Jesus says about himself. This is the invitation that Jesus gives us to come to him and find rest. It's actually hard to believe that you can find rest for your soul in a world that's so full of trouble. And yet, as we've learned over the past 3 weeks, as Pastor Russ has been teaching us, it's not as far-fetched as it seems. And so my aim this morning is to help you believe the big idea that we're going to have on the screen here, and that is that Christ's death and resurrection made impossible things possible. Let me say it one more time for you, just so you make sure you heard what I said. I didn't mess it up. Christ's death and resurrection made impossible things possible. I'm going to talk to you about some things this morning that would seem impossible and far-fetched, like rest for your souls. But I want you to see how Christ's resurrection made impossible things possible. Now, when God raised Jesus from the dead, it literally changed everything. History was altered. Things previously impossible were suddenly possible. 1 Corinthians 15, as I asked you to turn there this morning, is a chapter that explains the importance of the resurrection and how essential the resurrection is to the gospel and the gospel story. I want to talk to you just briefly about the gospel story this morning. We hear that word, people say that in church, preachers say it, people say it. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 explains how the resurrection is so important to the gospel story. In verses 1 and 2, if you look there with me, please. The Apostle Paul wrote, he says, "I would remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now, the gospel is a story that explains how God redeems and restores all things. I don't know what you understand the gospel to be, but it is a story or a message that explains how God redeems and restores everything. Everything. It's a story or a message, as you look here in your text, that he wants us to receive. Have you received this message? It's a message or a story that he wants us to stand in. Are we standing in the gospel day in and day out as we face different messages and different ideas and different difficulties? Are we receiving the gospel? Are we standing in the gospel? Then he says, it's a message that by which we are being saved. The gospel is a message that saves us. I don't know how you might anticipate being saved, being rescued from your sins, being redeemed and restored to God, being reconciled to God, but it's the gospel that does that. It says it's a message or a story that we're supposed to hold fast to. And one other thing I would say, it's also a message that we're supposed to share while we go out in the world and reject false gospels, anything else that's contrary to the true gospel. Now, the true gospel is also described here, or specifically described here in verses 3 and 4. Look there with me, please. He says, I deliver to you as of first importance. It's the most important thing. He says, I deliver to you of his first importance what I also received. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. How many of you are excited about that? That's the gospel message. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, you can go ahead and read verses 5 through 13 on your own, but those go on to say that over 500 eyewitnesses saw Jesus after his resurrection. That adds massive credibility to the gospel story. Massive credibility. Over 500. This wasn't done in a corner. This wasn't done just with 12 people or whatever. It was over 500 eyewitnesses saw Jesus Christ after the resurrection. Massive credibility to the story. The gospel is about God's effort, not our effort. You want to talk about finding rest for your soul? How's that? The gospel is about God's effort, not yours. Not mine. It's about God's promise. And I've got this reference on the screen for you, Ezekiel 36, verses 26, 27. God made a promise. He says, I will give you a new, tender, and responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so you'll follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Listen to the order of how things go in God's story, in God's gospel. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a tender heart. He gives us a responsive heart. He puts his spirit in us to cause us to follow his ways. Do you see how that works? That's different than any other false gospel that's out there. God moves first. And listen to this. Until God changes what we love, what we desire, we're not going to care about things like truth, doctrine, morality, consequences, next steps. Everybody wants to start with those things, but God has to do something first to make us even care about those things. That's what the gospel does. So the gospel isn't godliness by reinventing ourselves. That's not the gospel. God's not asking you to reinvent yourself. The gospel is not godliness through self-improvement. God's not asking you to improve yourself. God would like to have a hand in that process. The gospel is not godliness through sin management. Like if I can just get this straight and that straight, or I'm going to deal with this, or I'll handle this. The gospel is not godliness through sin management. We can't manage sin. The gospel is God handling our sin. The gospel is God making us new by grace through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it like this, and again, I've referenced it for you there. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. So many people are trying to become new or remake or renovate or whatever. If you are in Christ, the Bible says, you are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has already come. And he says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we become reconciled. Here's the neat thing about the gospel. It's not just something done to us. We get to participate in sharing the gospel with others. We get to do that. We get to, God wants to partner with us. And I'm going to talk to you about that in a second. But God wants to partner with us. Why? How? Who saw that coming? God wants to partner with us in the reconciling of all things to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to consider with me this morning, not just the gospel, but also how the resurrection is vital to the gospel story. That's what we came to hear about this morning, right? The resurrection. Look at verses 14 through 17. And I'm just going to kind of summarize them together because there's a little bit of repetition there. Verses 14 to 17, it says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain, and you are still in your sins. If there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then your sins haven't been handled. Conversely, because there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what's been handled? Say that with me this morning. My sins have been handled. My sins have been handled. Say that again. Maybe you need to say it a couple times just to believe it. It's the impossible thing that's become possible. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, say it. My sin has been handled. That's good news. All human effort is futile. It's vain, he says. If Jesus has not been handed over to die because of our sins, it's on the screen, and raised to life to make us right with God. That's why Jesus was handed over. That's why Jesus gave his life voluntarily for our sins. He was handed to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. What's your idea of how to become right with God? What are you trusting in right now to make you right with God? I've heard people say, oh, I've got to get right with God. Or, hey, why don't you come worship with us on Sunday? Oh, I got to get right with God first. What's your idea about getting right with God? The Bible says that it was Jesus who God raised to life to make us right with God. The way to become right with God is to put your trust in the one who did the job. What are you trusting in to make you right with God? If we remember stuff like this in troubling times, anybody struggle to remember truth and important things in troubling times? It's like, I'm just feeling trouble. I can't think of what. We've got to figure out ways to remember stuff like this in troubling times so that we resist fear, and we resist worry, and we resist anxiety, and we resist human solutions that only increase brokenness. Any other way besides the gospel increases brokenness. It makes things worse, not better. Jesus' life and death and resurrection, they prove that God is not playing hard to get. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. You're like, man, where's God? He ain't playing hard to get. Life isn't a game of hide and seek with God where we've got to exhaust ourselves to attain a relationship with him. God, are you there? God, are you there? God, where are you, God? God? It's not hide and seek with God. It's not exhausting yourself to climb your way to God, to have a relationship with God. And then you find out once you get there, it's like, oh, I got to work hard to keep my relationship with God. That's not the gospel. By the way, the entire Bible affirms this. The entire storyline of the Bible affirms this. In the Old Testament storyline, we see God coming down to dwell in Israel's tabernacle and later in their temple. God came to them. In the New Testament storyline, God came to live with people in the body of his son, Jesus Christ. Again, what do we see God doing? Coming to us. all throughout the Bible. It's not hide and seek, keeping yourself away. It's God coming to us. That is the message of the entire Word of God, the entire Scripture. Clearly, God hasn't been keeping his distance. God doesn't want to hide from our brokenness. He's always moving towards us. And why? Because it is him who is going to make us right with himself. You see that? That's the gospel. That's the good news that we celebrate this morning. Now, our church has been working through John 13 to 17. This is a section of scripture that we've been studying over the past couple of weeks. And it is a beautiful and game-changing section where the disciples feared Jesus dying and going away. You just put yourself there in their place and you just feel that tension. And so what Jesus does in John 13 to 17 is he does this thing where he comforts them by telling them what God's been up to for centuries. Jesus came and he's explaining things to them that they just didn't get. He's providing comfort after comfort after comfort to his disciples. Jesus even detailed some things, and this is what we're going to really dive into in John 13 to 17 as we keep going. Jesus detailed how he attaches himself to us. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about how Jesus attaches himself to us, how he comes to us? Jesus also taught them how the Trinity attaches to each other, how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus talks about that here in John 13 through 17. You can just write that down and check it out later. Jesus also talks about how we can participate in this holy attachment, which he also refers to as abiding. Abiding or being attached to Christ. That's in John 17. Jesus established a meal that illustrates how God attaches to us. I don't know if you picked up on that this morning, but this holy meal this morning is supposed to illustrate how God attaches to us. Let me give you just a quick example so maybe I can make the connection. God attaches to us by feeding us like a parent would feed their child. You see that? That's an attachment of love. A parent sees their child hungry, the parent feeds them. Taking the Lord's Supper, one of the things that it does for us is it reminds us not to swallow false gospels like Adam and Eve did, our ancestors in the Garden of Eden. Now, you're going to probably want to join us next week. This is actually a little commercial. You're going to want to join us next week because we're going to begin a series of messages about this attachment with God, this abiding in God. We're going to learn about how our relationship with him is based on love and not our behavior. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but a lot of times people think their relationship with God is based on their behavior. But according to the Word of God, it's based on love, his love. And so we're going to talk all about that for the next couple of weeks, and you're going to probably want to come back and hear it. I hope you do. We're also going to talk about how growth in ministry to others occurs to the degree that we grasp who God says we are in Christ. That is one of the most important things we can learn as Christians, who God says we are. We tell ourselves who we are. People are always telling us who we are. God has an opinion about who we are. And the more we grasp that, the more we will grow and the more we'll be able to help others. As we wrap up this morning, let's consider just a couple of brief things that are possible, because I told you there's a lot that's impossible things that have become possible. Let's just consider a couple things that became possible by Christ's death and resurrection. In John 16:7, Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." You say, well, who's the Helper? Well, that's found in John 14, verses 16 through 23. It says, "The Father will give you another helper to be with you forever, and that helper is the Spirit of Truth," the Holy Spirit. "To be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So we've talked so far today about God coming to us and being around in a temple, in the body of Jesus, you know, just like the person sitting next to you. But now what we're told because of the resurrection, this impossible thing, is God can actually be in us. That is unbelievable, right? Almost, but it's true because of the resurrection. It says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God wants to make a home with you. Has anybody ever told you that before? I used the word partnership earlier, but God actually wants to come and live inside of you and make a home with you. I don't know what people told you about God, but this is what God is after. There's two important truths that I want you to hear today. Number one, God is pursuing you for relationship. God is pursuing you. So many people are out there like, yeah, you got to find God. Go seek God. Are you seeking God? Try to find God. Go after God. God is seeking you for relationship. Our challenge is to believe that and to reject the other stories, like things like, I've done too many bad things to be a Christian. Anybody in the room done bad things? Just go ahead and lift your hand up. I want people to see that there's other folks that do bad things. Oh my goodness, we've got a church full of bad people. Oh, I'm sorry, people that do bad things, right? You see the difference? People that do bad things. Other stories we need to reject is that I've got to fix things before God can love me. That's not the gospel we've heard today. Other stories we need to reject is that God will leave me if I don't behave. You know, one of the best things about God is that you can have a relationship with him and he says to you, even if you mess it up, I'll still be with you. Amen. Man, what would happen if Christians would learn to do that? What if we would learn to just stick with people even if they don't do things we like? Would that not change the world? As we just proven from Scripture this morning, the resurrection guarantees that God will make a permanent home with us if we will repent of our sins and simply trust what Jesus has done. That's truth number one. God is pursuing us for relationship. Truth number two is that peace is found when we rest in Jesus by grace through faith. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? Because he wants to live inside of you, make a home in you, and give you peace in a troubled world. Friends, our gentle and humble Savior is offering rest for our souls. Anybody want rest for your soul? That rest will come as we stop swallowing false gospels and all these worldly stories and whatever, and we start embracing the story that Jesus declared and the story that he lived out. Bow your heads with me this morning. Let's pray.